Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the Q2 FY11 results conference call of NIIT Limited. As a reminder, for the duration of this conference, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, CEO NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. This is Vijay Thadani. Welcome to the Quarter Two conference call. First of all, my sincere apologies for a few minutes' delay. We had some organizing constraints right now. What I will quickly do, as usual, is to give a brief and then open it up for question and answers. As usual, I'll start with the environment and talk about the India story first. I think all of us are familiar with the fact that we have a very buoyant mood in India right now, with GDP growth projected to remain strong at 8.5%. Foreign investment inflows have been very strong and are expected to continue. In our business, most specifically, the employee hiring trends are extremely robust. We have some very, very positive movements in IT hiring, in banking hiring, and even in other services sectors that we service. The big three in the IT of the IT are expecting to hire nearly 100,000 people this year, and this will be on top of many others, including domestic projects, which are creating large need for trained IT people. Banking industry also set to hire over 50,000, as well as financial services industry, which is showing upward trend. Government remains very committed to pushing the education and skills development agenda. A lot of new policies, about six bills in the parliament, which have to undergo the parliament's deliberations before they become law. Corporate sector also looking very positively inclined and willing to invest in training and other discretionary expenditures. On the other hand, in the U.S., the mood is definitely improving, but yet extremely cautious. U.S. and Europe, overseas markets. The currency environment continues to remain very volatile, and whenever I'm saying is, it's also reflective of wars in the 3 months that passed that we are here to talk about. So in this overall environment, as a headline, I would like to say that we are quite pleased with the overall improvement in the quality and momentum of business. Revenue growth year-on-year has been 14% this quarter on a like-to-like basis, and I'll keep referring to like-to-like today because of a specific one-time pass-through revenue in government schools that we had experienced in the same period last year, same quarter, and had talked about it for a long time. Just to remind everybody, 56 crores of Gujarat. So I covered the environment, and in this environment, in the performance of NIIT, we believe is an overall improvement in the quality and the momentum of business, with a revenue growth of 14% YOY on a like-to-like basis after excluding the one-time pass-through revenue from government schools, which we encountered, which we had last year, same quarter. And if we were to look at in constant currency terms, the volume growth will be 16% year-on-year. I will go into the details of the results, and so overall consolidated system-wide revenue was at 5.7 billion rupees. which is a growth of 15% year-on-year on a like-to-like basis, 3% on the published basis. Net revenues were 3.458 billion, which is 3458 million rupees, which is growth of 14% year-on-year on a like-to-like basis, minus 3% on the published basis. EBITDA was at 532 million, which is up 7% year-on-year, and the EBITDA margin is at 15%, which shows an improvement of 161 basis points over the same period last year. Profit after tax is at 285 million rupees, which is up 9%, and this reflects an EPS of 1 rupees and 70 paisa. Key drivers for the growth have been a growth in enrollments, both in IT bank and banking part of the business, IT, banking and management education part of the business, a robust order intake of $31 million in the corporate learning solutions as we start implementing our second large managed training services project, which we got during this year. Third was an order intake of about $487 million in school learning solutions, where a large part came out of the non-government schools, which have done fairly well in this particular quarter. So overall, there has been a growth in volume, 14%. However, the margin improvement has been there, but has been to an extent stunted by the increased cost structure and the negative impact of exchange. If you go down at individual business levels, the performance is mixed. Two large businesses have done well, which is individual. Overall system-wide revenue and net revenue, both of them are up 17% year-on-year. This is a significant improvement over the year-on-year growth that we saw last in the last quarter, and we had talked about the fact that delayed season and launch of marketing programs had affected the growth last quarter. We have more than made up for that in this quarter, and therefore at a half-year level have come back to a growth of about 10%. Our net revenues in IT are up 12% year-on-year. Our EBITDA margin has improved in IT training to 28%, an improvement of 52 basis points. What is interesting is new businesses, where both banking management and even the BPO training all have registered interesting growth, and therefore at 114% year-on-year growth in this quarter. In corporate, the revenue, despite a negative impact of exchange rate, is up 11% year-on-year. Impact of exchange rate was about 200 basis points more, or 300 basis points more. So, in fact, a volume growth of 14% year-on-year. EBITDA is at 122 million, which is up 15% year-on-year, and at a margin of 8%. An improvement of 34 basis points despite an adverse effect of the exchange rate. In schools, however, the net revenues are up 13% on a like-to-like basis, which is after deducting the 56 crores of Gujarat revenue. But the EBITDA is at a lower level of 31 million rupees, which is one of the discussion points which we will have as I go into the details of each of the businesses. Overall consolidated financials, I already talked about the revenue and EBITDA. Our profit after tax is at 285 million, which reflects a growth of 9% and an EPS of 1.7. The adverse the margins to an extent are affected by three factors. One is a lower margin in the schools business, which is what we will talk about. Second is the impact of the people cost increase, which we had talked about, a step increase, which we had experienced during last quarter. Last quarter, it was on an average for a period of 1.5 months, I would say two. And this quarter, the impact has been over a 3-month period. The same was the case with rentals and also the impact of adverse exchange rate, which has contributed to the nearly 297 basis points impact in the overall margin. If I look at the balance sheet, on cash from operations, we have 386 million net cash from operations, which has reduced our debt by nearly 304 million. So net debt has reduced to 3.4 billion. ROCE is at 14%, which is in the same trend as we had in last year. DSOs, given the peak quarter of the year's issue, are at a slightly higher level at 3,646 million rupees, and the fixed assets added this quarter were 265 million. So, given the slower demand or the slower engagement in government school business, we have also been containing our capital expenditure accordingly. Overall, in individual business, if I was to go in the business line totals, I already covered most of the aspects, so I will not repeat that. I will straight away move into a qualitative performance in each of the sections. So individual IT, the most interesting part is that a stronger affinity or engagement in longer term and more intense courses, though to be conducted over shorter durations, which actually is a very interesting paradigm for us, because we get to burn the capacity faster, and students took up the 99-day diploma program fairly well. We saw an overall enrollment growth of 5% year on year on a like to like basis, and about 9% in India. So in many ways, India IT enrollments grew faster than the rest of the world. Rest of the world, as you know, have different seasons in which or different quarters in which different geographies have different peaks. Placements were up by 31%. We have now a pending order book of 1.4 billion rupees, which is up 20%, and 68% of which is executable in the next 12 months. We added a small seat capacity, 4% year on year on a net basis. In fact, we have been integrating and consolidating our centers to have larger capacity centers for improved profitability. In the corporate learning solutions, the net revenue grew by 11%, and as I mentioned, the volume growth was 15%. EBITDA improved by 34 basis points despite an adverse exchange rate. Order intake was $31 million. This quarter, we added our second managed training services order of the year. So right now we are getting about one order per quarter. This was about a $10 million contract, but to be executed over 4 years. Our pending order book is at $92 million, 57% executable in next 12 months. One thing which I thought I would point out for corporate learning solutions, that there are two contributors to growth. One is learning products, which is Element K's online library, which this year has grown by 21% on a year-on-year basis. And the second, the fact that managed training services is becoming a fairly compelling proposition with one win each and a strong in each of the quarters and a strong pipeline that we are working towards. all this, as you can see the trend over the last 6 quarters, we have been continuously improving in terms of volume growth from first quarter of FY10, where we had a negative growth, to now having reached a 15.3% volume growth on a year-on-year basis. In schools, as I mentioned, even in the last quarter, we have been extremely cautious on the government school segment. New tenders, decision-making has been extremely slow. We think there are three contributors. One, the fact that decision-making is slow perhaps because of elections or different political issues. But two more, where the government was to come up with a new policy of ICT at schools, which they have rolled out. However, its implementation is taking a long time. States are not yet adopting it because it also puts a burden of financial burden on the states. And the third is also the fact that central government has been very watchful of states' implementation of this program and are not releasing money easily given the past performance of the state. So all this has been putting a burden on our receivables. So our cash inflow has been from this business has been slower. And given that situation, and given the fact that there are other opportunities which at this point of time are also presenting themselves with a much quicker acceleration possibility, such as the individual learning solutions as well as the managed training services, we have also allocated a part of our portfolio in many, if I may say, in terms of growth to those activities and have concentrated more. Having said that, the non-government schools, our focus has been extremely strong. I'm pleased to tell you that in first half of the year, we have added 350 non-government schools, whereas last year, in 6 months, we had added only 330. So we have completed last year and more in just 6 months' time. So last year, whole year, was 330. This year, in first 6 months, are 350. So that order intake, as well as the momentum that we are seeing in private schools, as well as the acceptance of our new product line, has helped us to allocate more resources for marketing, for creating feet on the street through expansion in sales force. We improved our sales and marketing activity in private schools by 33%. Given the large opportunity, it is important for us to scale faster. So that's our schools business. In the new business, the finance and management training enrollments have grown at 172%. Overall new business enrollment, overall new business has grown by 114%. We have had some interesting tie-ups, but the two important trends which point to scaling up of this business. One of them is the banking and financial services recruitment, where there is a huge demand which the banking and financial services industry has for the kind of people that we are training. So we are not only servicing through our retail training centers, but also servicing through large amounts of corporate training. The second is the management training requirement in executives as well as companies who want to skill up those executives. So the launch of an executive MBA program, which is perhaps the first full-fledged executive MBA program launched in the country in collaboration with IGNU, is an important milestone. And the third thing is that, like we had mentioned, we have increased the reach of all our new business activities to now 40 centers through by leveraging our existing individual learning solutions network. On awards and recognitions, we got our own share of awards and recognition, but there is one the DataQuest top training of the year. We've received that award every year from the year that it was instituted. We got that this year as well. We also got the franchisor of the year. Our Element K content has been rated extremely high and is a finalist for a best IT content by the e-learning magazine, and there have been some more. Overall, the real business contributors for top line came from the individual learning solutions, which is a high margin business, from corporate learning solutions, which is a high volume and now an improving bottom line business. The EBITDA contribution obviously therefore came from individual and corporate. So overall, strong growth in individual and corporate, and school business reinventing itself or reorganizing itself for the new reality, which is of government spending. Our IP-led revenue continues to go higher and has improved to now 45% of the total revenue in the first half of the year. We added 154 people net during the quarter, which has taken our total headcount to 3,874. This now makes that during this year, we have already hired more than 350 people, and that is more or less gets us ready for meeting the requirement of the new year. There will be some more recruitment as the new managed training services orders get implemented. Maybe I will stop here and open it for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Participants are also requested to limit their questions to two per participant during the initial round of question and answer. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and then one. The first question is from Deepin Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Vijay, good evening. I had a couple of questions. First of all, in the individual learning business, we have seen the second quarter growing at 12.5% on a YOY basis. That is the revenues. That is only the IT business. Now this and the previous one being the two kind of peak quarters, we have reached about 12.5% or on an average about 10% growth. So what should this translate into for the full year? Like, should we be having a slightly higher growth in the next two quarters, or should we be saying 10 to 11% should be the growth rate for the year?
Okay. I will ask Raghu to answer that question.
Hi, this is Raghu. Thanks for the question. Basically, we maintained for the full year between 10 and 12%, and during the last quarter, we said we are likely to be at the lower end of this range. I think we would like to stay with it at the moment.
Okay.
So, in other words, I think the delayed things in the first quarter have been made up in the second quarter. So, in H1, we are on track for our projections.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. And in the corporate learning business, like, how do you see the trends going? Like, we have shown a good performance in this current quarter, but more in terms of the EBITDA, like, how do you see the picture going ahead, assuming that the rupee remains at the current levels?
Yeah. So, I remind you, we had talked of a single-digit volume growth in corporate at a constant rupee rate, mm-hmm. and 100 basis points improvement in EBITDA.
Okay.
We are tracking at a much higher volume rate at this point of time,
mm-hmm.
Nearly 10-odd percent, maybe 13% actually in the first mm-hmm. two quarters.
Mm-hmm.
However, the exchange volatility has brought that down to a lower number. Important question which we have to see is that given the new orders that we have got, we think we will track to a higher than projected volume growth, which is where we had talked of 6-odd percent, but I think perhaps we will do better than that as it stands, because we are already at 13%, so that puts... Mm-hmm. gives us a headroom for a higher growth in the next two. On the EBITDA, once again, if you adjust it back for exchange rate, we are on projection, nearly 100 basis points improvement. Mm-hmm. So even though we will have a higher revenue growth, we think we will achieve the 100 basis point improvement that we have been looking at, obviously assuming a constant exchange rate. So
okay.
In short, in corporate, we will be ahead of our projections. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, given the size of corporate and its impact on the total, the increases in corporate and new businesses, both of who are ahead of their projections, I think will make up for the shortfalls that we can now expect to see in schools, given the fact that the government business doesn't have traction in many ways, is helping us conserve a lot of cash also.
Okay. So that's the next thing, like in terms of the new businesses, how do we see the year panning out in terms of revenue and bottom line?
So we had talked about an improvement in revenue to the extent of 50%. At this point of year, tracking at a much larger number. But given new businesses can become choppy in the next two quarters, we would like to believe that we would definitely exceed the projection, but not quite sure by how much. As far as profitability is concerned, perhaps we would be at that or little more, because the step increase in cost, frankly, is perhaps going to affect the level of loss. The total amount will be in loss. Just to let you know, some of the businesses have already started making money and are back into black. Some of them, the new ones, are still in red.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. I will come back for more later. Thank you very much.
Jiten.
Thank you. The next question is from Manik Taneja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to get an understanding on what's happening on a school learning side in terms of we had significantly increased investments on a private school side. If you could talk a little on that side, and also let us know on your thoughts on how do you see your new business panning out. I think I might be repeating what the earlier speaker said on this side. But
no problem. We'll go into details of that. So on private schools, we have seen very positive momentum. I'll ask Sanjeev to talk about that, as also the increased exposure we have to new product launches, as well as the increase in headcount, sales headcount as marketing initiatives, and the success thereof.
Yeah, hi, this is Sanjeev. So basically, as Vijay said, and as the charts indicate, we've had a very robust growth in terms of both order book as well as revenue in private schools in the first half. And we're seeing significant traction as we get into quarter three and quarter four in terms of acceptance of our product, in terms of our overall pipeline, etc. We have significantly expanded our reach. We were present historically in about six branches in India. We've gone significantly above that in terms of covering the territory. We've added significant headcount, and we have significantly increased our marketing spend in terms of establishing a pull for our products. And in parallel, we continue to focus on launching new offerings, on developing new products for the private schools market. So overall, most of our offerings, if you see in the private school space, are annuity kind of offerings. So we will start seeing the revenue impact of this incrementally as the quarters go by. But we are sitting on a significant order book that has been created because of the 350 schools that we signed, and the significant 79-80% order book growth that we have had in the first half. So we will continue to do that. As far as government schools is concerned, even though your question was not on government schools, I thought I'll take the opportunity to sort of restate what Vijay has stated. We will continue to adopt a very strong diligence of where we put our investments in and how do we go and work with various governments. We are seeing a slowdown, as Vijay pointed out, because of multiple reasons. And so we will look at renewals, we'll look at IP-based solution sales, which is a part of our overall government strategy. So in the short run, it may have a revenue impact on us in the government school side. But in the long run, even the government portfolio would over time become less capital intensive and more profitable for us. I will now give it back to Vijay to comment on new businesses.
Raghu, you want to talk about new businesses?
Yeah. New businesses, as you know, we basically refer to three significant businesses. One is the banking finance. Vijay already talked about the significant growth in the enrollment. And that is a business which has turned around, has posted a small profit last quarter. When it comes to the management training business, we have been doing very underlying things from the long-term perspective. The executive MBA of IGNO that we have launched through this institution is a very significant one. We expect that to be a significant volume giver over the next few seasons and quarters and seasons. We will have two launches in a year for that. The BPO business is increasing in volume. So if you look at the business of the management training as well as the BPO business, they should be reaching break-even, in-quarter break-even anytime between the last quarter and the first quarter of next year. So essentially all of them are going on a good trajectory. If you look at the first 6 months, whatever numbers you're seeing here, you should expect improving rates for the second half of the year, and that should be a steady state trajectory to look at as far as the new businesses are concerned. What is important is that with the banking sector coming back very strong, the enrollment is a reflection of that, and we see that continuing. If you look at the large banks, they've announced recruitment plans of more than 50,000 for the coming 12 months. And we expect a very large retirement happening in many of the banks. That's going to create another big pressure in terms of the talent requirement. So we have fundamentals which are extremely strong for the three new businesses we are talking about.
Thanks, sir. That will be promising.
Thank you.
The next question is from Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
On the private school front, can you just talk about the revenue model? Are you giving some software licenses to the schools, or what exactly, how you are earning the revenues?
So there are multiple, thanks for your question, Kaushik. So there are multiple, this is Sanjeev here, there are multiple products and services that we have in the private school space.
Okay.
Some of them, and a significant number of them, are the annuity offerings where the model varies from per student per month kind of a basis to per classroom per month kind of a basis.
Okay.
So there the revenue kicks in quarterly as an accrued revenue over 5 years.
Over 5 years, okay.
Over five
okay.
years.
Okay. Okay.
However, there are certain licensed products and shorter revenue duration products that we have launched, like a school ERP solution, Quick School. We have a mobile science lab that I talked about last quarter. That we are seeing increased traction of that. So that's a three-month implementation cycle kind of a solution. And we have our math lab also, which typically, again, takes about 12 weeks to implement. So we have a combination of products and services, and that's the revenue model for ICS, the private schools market.
So how much of your revenue stream from private schools is continuing, and how much is one-time?
More of it is a continuing kind of a revenue.
So majority of our revenue is a continuing kind of a revenue.
Okay.
We've tried to balance the portfolio.
Okay.
And again, it's early days. On quarter-on-quarter basis, we have significantly changed the mix to some extent.
Okay.
And as we go forward, we'll continue to drive a mix of both annuity products as well as short-term revenue products as well.
Okay. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Nihar Shah from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of questions on basically the new business initiatives. One was on a press release you had mentioned you know, the fact that you started a new online advertising sort of certification in partnership with Google. Can you give us some more information on that in terms of what the business model there and potential could be?
It is not like the Google's business model. It's very simple.
Right.
It's an online, it's actually part of a management education series.
Okay.
So what we essentially look at are what are the opportunities which organizations are focusing on, and given the fact that we are a non-formal institution, our ability to come up with curricula which are very relevant in the current setting.
Sure.
We had two quarters ago, launched a diploma in digital marketing, and so that was one initiative. This partnership with Google is to help marketing professionals become familiar with what are the competencies required to become good in online advertising.
Sure.
Since Google search engine optimization is one of those important techniques, a lot of good subject matter expertise from there helps.
Right. The information I wanted was in terms of, you know, what's the sort of, you know, the fees that you charge the students.
Oh, okay.
How many do you have at this point of time?
Yeah. So, Raghu?
Still early days to kind of, talk about the volumes, but the fee is less than 10,000 rupees, and this is aimed at working professionals.
Okay.
And you might have also seen in the press release that Google is willing to give a little funding to these students
right.
to try their hands in creating some marketing engines and actually use it and so on and so forth. It's going to be really very hands-on.
Sure.
So over the next few weeks, we should be able to get a steady state prediction for this.
Okay.
But that is, as Vijay alluded, this is not the first time we are entering into this, customized program. We had a digital marketing program which we had constructed and offered with the help of experts.
Sure.
This is very specific with the Google collaboration. The certification will be by Google as well.
Okay. The second question is on the exec MBA with IGNO. You know, just again, the similar kind of information. You had your first batch comments, so, you know, just wanted to know how many students and, you know, what's the potential for this going forward. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Okay. Raghu will talk about that. Once again, these are beginnings of very exciting opportunities for future, but you always start with small batches because you just want to make sure that you're able to do justice to them. But nevertheless, Raghu,
Executive MBA is again focused on working professionals. The advantage of this is that students, this is for working professionals who don't have to leave their job, and it is very easy for them to do on a Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
And we've assembled one of the best curriculum and the fantastic professors who are going to be part of the various modules that are going to be offered in this.
Right.
The fee structure is in the region of about 1.85 lakhs, and it is spread over a period of 18 months with a lot of hands-on opportunities. So it's a very, very robust course.
Okay.
And our intention is to carve out a very specific niche for this particular program across the country. The volume potentials are very large. But as Vijay said, right now we have just started with the first pilot batch at the modest beginning.
Right.
And we are already working with IGNO for the second batch, which will probably start in the month of February or so. So we'll have two admission cycles every year. And it is the first batch, students are extremely happy, more from the convenience standpoint as well as the kind of quality of content and the professors we have lined up.
Right.
So we think that this has got a substantial promise, but when the second cycle of admissions get over sometime in February or maybe a little earlier, we will have a much better picture on this. It's an early beginning, but fantastic promise.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Good luck with all your new businesses and business in general. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Sunil Thirumalai from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. I had a couple of questions. Sorry if I missed this out. In the school business, the reason for the low margin this quarter?
Oh, okay. Sanjeev, you want to cover that?
Yeah, so I think Vijay alluded to that when we talked about the impact that we had on school learning solutions business this quarter. So there were three factors, if I may position in terms of what impacted our margins this quarter. One is there has been an overall drop in revenue, and as Vijay mentioned, there's delayed execution. So that has contributed to part of the drop, about 200 to 300 basis points in terms of our margins and EBITDA. There is a cost inflation factor that Vijay also alluded, which got fully factored for this quarter, and that also impacted our margins. But I think the biggest of the three reasons is that we have significantly ramped up, as I was talking about earlier to an earlier question, our presence and reach. So we have invested in people. We've added almost 33% additional sales and marketing capacity, which has gone operational this quarter. And we've also increased our marketing spend significantly compared to the past and last year. So we are investing in the private schools space, and there has been a decline largely in the government space because of delayed execution, as we talked about, and the diligence that we are adopting. So these are the factors that have contributed for the decline in margins this quarter.
Okay, so if we strip out the impact of the one-off project in the previous year, what extent of a decline are we seeing, and how much time do you think we can recover that? Because I think it's purely going to be only growth which can help you recover that, because most of these investments that you talked about, they're not one time, they're like long-term investments.
Yeah, so I think if you look at the NIT point of view, we have always been concerned about the capital intensity of the government schools business. And we have often talked about it, and many of you have actually suggested, why don't you get out of it? Whereas what we have maintained is that it's a huge opportunity, but we would like to take that opportunity at our own terms. I think in this current period, we see an opportunity to reallocate a part of our portfolio. We are seeing a phenomenal traction in corporate. We are seeing a very good traction in individual. We are seeing good traction in new businesses. So what we are trying to say is that, is this the time for us to make that switch so that at least there will be more cash on the balance sheet? It will give us a much, much better ROC, and we will also be, therefore, having more liquidity. Having said that, the schools business, if you were to examine the schools business in isolation and say, fine, we have a slower government business, how do we make sure that we make up for that? So there are the private school initiatives, which Sanjeev will talk to you more. So I thought I'll give you a response at two levels. One at the corporate level. Corporate level is reallocation of portfolio. Our own belief is that our revenue performance this year will not get affected because of this change. And of course, if the government business improves, then we should be in a better shape than what we thought we would be. But overall, I would tend to feel maybe Sanjeev should explain from a school's point of view what will be his recovery plan.
So as I mentioned earlier, we are exercising very strong diligence as far as the government business is concerned. Even as we work with several states on oncoming opportunities, we've also invested in a couple of new offerings. One is a internationally certified program on teacher training. And we're targeting the large mass of government schools for training and enablement through this offering. We will also go and participate in some of the bot and boot projects in a few states, but exercising due diligence, exercising caution, and looking at the funding availability, etc. So from a full year basis, if your question is how will business pan out for us, the private school business will continue to grow significantly. We will add a significantly good number of schools in the second half, and it should be much higher than the number of schools that we have added in the first half. We will continue to grow at a very strong double-digit growth that we are growing in terms of revenue in the private school space, and that growth will continue from the second half. If you look at the overall mix of our business historically was skewed largely towards government, and last year we had this huge exception transaction that we had closed with one of the governments, and which had significantly skewed our revenue. So if we discount for that, we will overall as school learning solutions grow in single digit this year, but the private schools market out of this will grow in strong double digits this year.
So just while you're on that, you said if you discount for the contract, you would grow in single digit. What would be the margins in, I mean, on a like for like basis?
So overall, we're looking at a margin of about 15-16%. We would maintain a margin of about 15-16%.
Okay.
That's in the second half. First half has been lower.
First half is about 12.
Yeah. So we do expect improvement in margin in the second half. But
Okay. Because just now you said that this year you might not have too much of margin uptake, so that was where my concern was.
Yeah, that is because of first and second half put together. That's what you meant by that.
Sure, sir. And my next question is rather silly. I mean, for the quarter, the rupee depreciated. So I'm just wondering why you're talking of an adverse impact on the corporate business.
Okay, on a year-on-year basis. Since we all our comparisons are year on year.
Okay, got it. So, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
And by the way, there is no question which is silly. It is silly of us not to have clarified clearly.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify the fee structure I mentioned about the Google program. Actually, it's little over 30,000 rupees. Sorry about the error. I was thinking of another program.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question, I'm sorry, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, I said since we are in errors and omissions, my colleague just reminded me that I talked of net cash as 386 million. It is 326 million. I'm sorry about that.
So may I take the next question?
Yes, please.
The next question is from Mohit Jain from Alchemy. Please go ahead.
Congrats for a good set of numbers. My first question is on the schools business, specifically the private schools business. Which solution or software is seeing most traction in terms of sales? And is there a regional bias to your growth in schools?
Very good questions, I must say. Thank you.
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier in the call, I mean, we have six or seven solutions that we sell in the school space. And some of these solutions are cyclical, so they happen at they are linked to a time and academic year point of view. So in the first quarter and second quarter, we have seen very good traction of our NVD products in terms of our teaching learning solution for classrooms, as well as our IT training program for schools, the IT Wizard portfolio of products. Again, on a quarter two versus quarter one basis, we have had significant growth in our math lab and in our mobile science lab and school ERP products. So overall, we are seeing the mix as both the annuity products being very strong in first quarter, the classroom solution as well as the IT visit program. In quarter two, we have seen our lab solutions and our ERP license growing significantly, and the mix of that improving from a second quarter standpoint.
But if you have to choose one solution, for example, if I look at the growth rates on a YOY basis, so excluding seasonality, which would be your, you know, the strongest product in your portfolio?
So our strongest product portfolio historically was our Wizard program, where we had three or four variants of the IT program that we were doing. What has gained significant traction this year is the interactive classroom solution that we have launched with new content, as well as our math lab and mobile science lab, our lab solutions that we launched. So these products have taken off significantly, and our school's ERP is a good run rate solution that continues to sell well over the quarters. And in terms of regional bias, we have had much stronger growth in West and South compared to North and East. And as a part of our organizational restructuring as well as adding reach, we have addressed that from our priorities as we are spending our marketing spend as well as expanding our sales force.
Do you see any resistance or, I mean, from the parent side or from the school side, depending on the region? What I mean to ask is probably it is easier to sell in the West than in the North.
No, I think parents are and students and schools are all wanting to adopt solutions and technology in teaching learning. I think our problem in North and East was that we did not have significant reach, which we have expanded significantly now. So I don't see a buyer behavior issue significantly varying.
Sure. So I would tend to agree with what you said rather than what Sanjeev said, because that's an interesting insight. If you notice, most of the schools in South and West are the early adopters of new technologies and new solutions, traditionally. So even our MATLAB, the first one was Vidya Mandir in Chennai and stuff like that, right? So given the fact that some of our solutions are fairly unique, which even the big competitors don't have an equivalent 6 months after the launch, of our launch, like the labs, the math lab and science lab, as well as the school ERP. Those are very unique solutions. So the early adopters for that tend to be in West and South. To that extent, I think you have a point which you made. Of course, in addition to that, Sanjeev did say that the reach in North and East, in our case, has been a small constraint, but that we are correcting.
So now you are seeing equal traction in all the regions.
We will.
You will. Okay, sure.
Yes.
And my second question is related to corporate training, large project, which you discussed.
Yes.
What kind of projects are these, and can you give an indicative margin range for these projects?
Okay. So this is part of our managed training service offering, where what we are trying to do is to offering comprehensive to a significant part of an organization's training department. Typically these include a set of learning delivery, learning technologies, which means an LMS kind of a platform, as well as learning content facility. We are, the one which we have been allowed to talk about and have talked about is for last 4 years we look after managed training services for Philips worldwide and have been addressing those. We got the Philips contract renewed, not this quarter, it happened earlier, and is renewed for another 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. We added a large European client in the first quarter, and we added another one during this quarter. We also have a good pipeline. Typically, these are multi-year engagements, about $10 million or so. Margins have to be understood in a larger context. And perhaps the margins of the business are more relevant, because there are a lot of common expenses which need to get allocated since you build common facilities for some of these. So we do see then overall, as more and more part of this business comes, just the fact that there is certainty of revenue gives you an opportunity to allocate your resources more efficiently, and you can see therefore as larger and larger percentage of revenue comes from these contracts, our margins will continue to increase. We have always maintained that our corporate business in steady state should run at 15-15. I'm happy to say that in 15% volume growth terms, at least the business demonstrated that it can do it, and it is very close to even achieving 15% in margin. So managed training services will give us more certainty of business compared to project-based business that, you know, creates lots of fallow capacity on some times and excess and shortages at another time.
Sure, sir. And is the billing based on a ticket training request based, or is it fixed for a year, irrespective of number of requests or employees?
Okay. It is typically a combination of both. You have a minimum level of service that you have to provide. That doesn't depend on how many people are there or how many tickets are there. Well, the ticket service is used only in... It's actually not used in any of the contracts that I talked about, but yes, it is a prevalent practice. But so you have a minimum requirement, and then if you go beyond that, then you get excesses.
Okay, sure, thanks. And my last question is on K-12. Do you plan to set up your own schools in the near future?
No. We have never had any inclination for doing that because the statute does not permit it for private companies to be in this business, so we have not been.
Okay. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from Rishi Maheshwari from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks. My question is regarding an observation that I've noticed that the government has been very proactive in initiating programs where companies would take initiative to take on vocational practices. Now, I'd like to know if NIT is already in there, and if it's there, then what is the scope of the market and how does it build its own revenue model over there?
Okay. So, skills development has been, I will ask Mr. Pawar to comment on it a little bit, but let me just give you the headline. The headline of this is skills development is a huge opportunity. However, there are no viable business models which are emerging, because as you carry skills and try to deliver them at scale, especially low-level skills, the business models are not viable. And there is a government has set up a National Skills Development Corporation which helps people with viability gap funding. That is just to make sure that those models which are not physically viable financially, at least some kind of viability gap funding can be given, which is typically in the form of a debt. And that debt can be repaid over a longer period at a concessional interest and so on and so forth. Now, so far, NSDC has funded, by and large, not-for-profit organizations. They are open to talking to for-profit organizations as well. And there are, and obviously we would be very clued on to that, but we do not have anything specific which we can, at this point of time, say has been finalized. I will ask Mr. Pawar to anyway talk about the skills development initiative and government funding on this.
So I think Vijay has more or less covered it. The overall skills number that we talk of and the government talks of it include things like plumbers and carpenters and drivers and mobile repairers and so on. And the government's emphasis quite clearly and for the right reasons is on inclusive growth. So below the poverty line kind of activity. So it's very important not to start looking at those numbers and try and ascribe a market place of that scale or size. I think it's very important because there is a... We've had a lot of conjecture being done on what's the size of schools and so on, and I think it tends to mislead the marketplace. So that is a general statement. Now, within that, quite clearly, there are segments where viability would be more visible. And if you look at the many sectors in which the industry has already been operating for the last couple of decades, starting with IT and the financial sector and so on, so wherever viability has been clear and visible, we've seen a lot of entrepreneurial activity happening already. And the initiative in the Skill Development Corporation is to look at ideas where support can be given, and they have, of course, a big thrust for NGOs as well. So I think it's important to start segregating when you look at this market for the scale and size of self-sustaining models, as distinct from those which will need subsidy, those which are below the poverty line, and in my view, an overriding percentage, 80 or 90% belongs to the kind which is BPL and so on. So I think it's very, very important for everyone tracking this area to be extremely careful about drawing conclusions on scale and size. That's what I would say.
Well, sure, thanks so much. But Ms. Pawar, while on one hand this is government who is initiating this program for the below poverty line, the other hand there is also industries which are equally inclined towards giving opportunity to for their own employees. Now, does that form a good part of your do you look at that opportunity as well?
See, the new businesses that Raghu has talked of, whether it's Imperia and so on, they are all aimed at people who are in service wanting to add skills, either on their own accord for their self-improvement or through the company's initiative. So those exist, and I think that area we are not likely to find too much of the funding going into that space. That's entrepreneurial activity already at work. And when we talk of this big skills thing, I think we should carefully try and take a look at where the corporate sector would move in. So the areas which, if you look at the retail area, the healthcare, there are areas like that which are going to become clearer as we go forward. I think there will be entrepreneurial activities coming up in those areas. But when we look at areas which have largely been in government control, like the ITIs and so on and so forth, that scale is large, but the viability is in question. So we should segregate this activity.
And in continuation of what Raji said, if your question was when corporates are interested in getting their, looking after their particular needs of skilled people or specific industry sectors, that is certainly of great interest to NIIT. Two examples in point already on the table. ICICI Bank, which is a banking sector, private banking sector's or privately owned banking sector's requirements of trained people, and we have actually created a specific entity which is meeting banking and financial services requirement. Similarly, in the BPO sector, which is in partnership with Genpact, we have created a capacity and facility to look after those needs. So those are indeed sweet spots for us, and we would be addressing those.
And persistent on private schools, if Sanjeev can reply to this, while you've spoken about the six or the seven solutions that you have, and one of which is the teacher learning, IT wizard, and etc., ERP stuff, do you have a full-fledged program for, say, a CBSE or ICSE learning program which covers all the curriculum that that is present? Because some of your competitors are offering these kind of courses. So what is the answer to those courses?
Answer is yes.
Yes, our eGuru portfolio is where we have the solution. Teaching learning solution that I talked about. So not only we have solution where the teacher can use the content and teach the students using technology, as well as our pedagogy and our content. But we also have learning lab and other solutions which students can use to learn. We are taking that to the next level by giving them the facility of learning anytime, anywhere. So whether it is from school to home, we're going to address the entire paradigm when it comes to the learning solutions for students.
How are those learning solutions priced, and if when you approach a school, how many classrooms would you pitch for?
So we would go and do a study and discuss with the school in terms of what their current state is and what's the overall requirement in terms of solution. It's very easy to go and tell them that you can take it from kindergarten and do it to class 12. We don't take that approach. So we typically go and study in terms of the maturity of the school, as well as their ability to embrace technology. Typical, if you look at the last 6 months, the typical number of classrooms per school would be around 5 to 6.
How much will you charge for such a product?
Depends on the way you structure it.
As I said, that there is a per classroom per month kind of a price. So average ballpark, it varies actually. So I don't want to give a figure, but it varies depending on the number of modules that they buy, the school size, and the number of classrooms, etc. So we have a tiered pricing mechanism which we price for the schools.
Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Vishal Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks. Actually, I've already mentioned these data points, but just wanted to make sure. So, could you give the gross cash, gross debt, and the debtors days? I just want to make sure I got them correct.
Okay. 548 cash. 3952 debt. And therefore, net debt of 3404.
And the debtors number?
3646.
Just wanted to understand one simple thing, that our school business, which seems to be more capital intensive and working capital has longer working capital cycle, has actually shown a degrowth, and still our sundry debtor number has actually gone up. Could you just reconcile that for us?
Yeah, yeah. That is actually, number one, associated with slower collections coming from the school system, because there are past receivables which should have got cleared. So one is that. And second, the fact that it's this is the peak quarter of the year. So those are the two contributors.
Additional data point, could you give the capacity utilization for the individual business?
67%.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
See, I just want to highlight what our education minister has said in Calcutta. I happen to be in Calcutta. So he had said that, quote, we will need 800 more universities from the present 504 and 40,000 more colleges from the present 26,000. Does NIIT plan to get into the college stream?
As you know, colleges and universities are reserved for the not-for-profit sector at this point of time. For-profit organizations cannot be engaged in that.
Okay.
You also know, on the other hand, that 2 years ago we promoted the NIIT University.
Okay.
So if you wanted to know whether academically NIIT is engaged in this activity, yes. But if your question was financially, well, whether it will impact our results or projections going forward, at this point of time, no.
Okay.
Mr. Poddar, do you have any further questions?
No, that's it.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Or should we be closing this?
No, sir. That was the last question.
Okay.
So, would you like to add a few closing comments?
Well, the closing comments I would like to do is to, as usual, thank you for spending so much of your time with us, asking us incisive questions. As usual, we learn a lot from your questions. Thank you very much for your encouragement, support, guidance. And if there are any more questions, please don't hesitate to contact Kapil Saurabh, Investor Relations, any one of us for further discussion. So with that, thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you, Mr. Thadani. Thank you, gentlemen of the management. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.